KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 20 civil service employees have resigned from Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. They say their technical expertise was being used to dismantle critical public services, which they don't agree with. Meantime, there's still widespread confusion about the job security of thousands of federal government employees.
Federal workers in limbo after confusing and contradictory guidance about that ultimatum and midnight deadline from billionaire Elon Musk, saying employees must respond to an email with a list of what they did last week or lose their job. The president calling that idea genius.
ABC senior congressional correspondent Rachel Scott. Consumer confidence taking a nosedive. The Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index shows measures on how Americans feel about the overall economy. This week's report shows the largest decline in confidence since August of 2021. For the first time since last June, the expectations index was below the threshold that usually signals a recession. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Monday night, the Green Bay Area Public School Board voted to change several job titles and descriptions to keep ahead of a directive from the Trump administration on DEI efforts. The changes removed mentions of diversity, equity, inclusion, and cultural competency from job descriptions. The motion to change titles and descriptions carried 4-3. The school board hopes the efforts will ensure that it doesn't lose millions of dollars in federal aid. The Education Department sent a memo out Friday giving school districts an ultimatum to stop using racial preferences as a factor in admissions, financial aid, hiring, and other areas. Schools were given 14 days to end any practice that treats students and workers differently because of their race. The Wisconsin DMV is warning of a rise in online vehicle fraud. Melissa Kay has that story.
The number of online vehicle scams have increased recently. The scheme starts as a fake online storefront. The website or social media profile claims to be a Wisconsin dealership. You'll see stock images or photos of real vehicles, and real Wisconsin dealerships are included to make things seem legitimate. Advertised vehicles may be listed at below market value to make interested customers take the bait. Another warning signal is no in-person contact with the seller. The Wisconsin DMV is aware of multiple cases that follow this pattern. Sometimes the scammer interacts with the customer by phone or email, but after they receive the money by wire transfer, all contact stops. WisDOT has recommendations to help you avoid scammers. If you're the victim of a scam, you can file a dealer complaint along with other actions to protect your credit and information. Find out more at wisconsindmv.gov.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to wgbw.fm.
Basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin Badgers at home tonight against the Washington Huskies. Wisconsin now ranked 12th in the AP Top 25. The Bucks are in Houston taking on the Rockets. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst and his staff here in Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine. Over 300 top college players working out for teams getting ready for the draft in April. The Brewers in Arizona, where pitcher Abner Uribe, who once threw a pitch over 103 miles an hour, believed to be the best in franchise history, has not only been working on his fastball, but his English as well.
How did you study?
I studied like with the teacher, but then I felt chilling sitting. I can't feel asleep because I'm not that guy to be sitting all day taking class, you know.
Uribe, who's from the Dominican Republic, says he wants to be able to speak with the fans, especially the kids.
If I don't speak English, I don't have like something to say to the kid, you know what I mean? So I have to speak in English.
That's Brewers pitcher Abner Uribe with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunny and still warm today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s, and tonight, rain rolling in. It'll mix with some snow overnight, where we could be waking up to around a half an inch of accumulation. And with the wintry mix ongoing tomorrow morning, expect slick and slippery spots. And it'll flip to regular rain by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Hey, it's Brian from Heights Pub and Parlor, 217 North Washington Street in Green Bay.
And I'm Ashley. Get your happy hour on every Monday through Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. with $4 rail mixers and drafts and $3 bottled beers.
Plus, we've upgraded our kitchen. We now use lard in our fryers for healthier, tastier food. Check out our prime Angus burgers, pressed paninis, and our fresh walleye.
Hosting a party? Book our second floor parlor with a third level loft. They're perfect for get-togethers.
Heights Pub and Parlor, online at heightsgb.com or follow us on Facebook.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
What celebrity would you like to hug? It's International Hug Day. I wouldn't say Josh Brolin is like my favorite actor, but he's got like a quiet macho-ness to him. Actor Glenn Morshower joins us now.
My self-esteem was jolted when you did not mention me as your hugging preference.
I didn't want to rush it. I just want to see how. Let's just dip our toes in the water here and see what kind of relationship develops, shall we?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn, and Harvey K has a toast to Thomas Paine. Plus, how are federal layoffs impacting the great state of Wisconsin? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after 1130. We're going to lighten it up a little bit. We like to take a little break. Take a breath.
Audio sorbet.
Audio sorbet. He's working on it. We have a sound effect for that.
Yeah. Oh.
You got it, Calvin?
That was the sound effect that was in my head.
Audio sorbet.
I feel like, Dr. Lyley, that sound effect is always in your head. So.
Oh, we're going to talk about whether or not you read. Do you read? Do you read books? Do you read articles? Or do you get your information some other way? The Atlantic has a big article about Americans are not reading. Some of us are. Bookstores still exist. But we'll kick that around, and then we will wrap it up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the Royal Flush Edition, courtesy of Greg Bach, who found that Tisbat, as we like to call them. Right now, though, we are joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly. She is our chief morale officer here at Civic Media. And we're going to talk about something tragically that's very serious and is having ramifications around the country since Roe was overturned. This is from an article in ProPublica, and the headline reads, Texas banned abortion, then sepsis rates soared. Pregnancy got far more dangerous in Texas after the state banned abortion in 2021. The rate of sepsis shot up more than 50% for women hospitalized when they lost a pregnancy in the second trimester. Dr. Lyerly, explain to us, first of all, what is sepsis?
Sepsis is an infection that's very serious and difficult to treat. And it can cause lifelong injury, it can cause organ damage, and it can cause death. And for that reason, when someone's water breaks early in pregnancy, before viability, before the fetus can survive, the general guidelines, based on evidence and experience, are that we offer our patients a broad number of options, but one of them is termination of pregnancy. And the goal is to save the woman's life. But what we've seen in Texas, and remember, Texas is the canary in the coal mine,
yep,
because they had abortion laws before Roe fell. So what we see in Texas is what we expect to see in other places. And what we're seeing in Texas is that when this happens to women, doctors are not able to offer them this option. They have to wait until the fetal heart stops beating or until the woman starts to show signs that she's becoming critically ill. And that is, from a physician's perspective, from a human perspective, That is unbelievable, unforgivable.
Only women would be treated this way. I'm sorry, but only women would be treated with this attitude of, I don't know, you're not close enough to death yet, so we can't treat you. You need to be closer to death before we can give you the life-saving treatment that you need. A man would never be in this position, in whether or not it's reproductively involved or not. This would never happen to a man.
I can't think of a situation where a man would be involved. And, you know, this is so striking and it's so devastating. You may have heard of the story of Amanda Zarowski. Mm-hmm. Amanda is a woman from Texas, from Austin, who this happened to her. And this was, she had a desired pregnancy, a deeply desired pregnancy that she lost. And she almost died as a result of that. She's been very outspoken. She's actually one of Time Magazine's Women of the Year. She's coming to Wisconsin to tell her story, wow, actually, in March, yeah, in the middle of next month. But here in Wisconsin, there are plenty of these stories. And I have the honor, as a physician and an advocate, of getting to know some of these women. You know, I've treated many women who have been in this situation. And some of these women are so courageous to step up and share their stories. One of them is with us today. Her name is Laurel. She's from southeastern Wisconsin. Laurel, tell us about what happened to you and how you've been able to cope with it.
Right. Well, first of all, I just want to say hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Laurel.
It's really wonderful to be with you. I'm a little nervous, but I'm
here. Just talking
to
us. You're just talking to us. It's all good.
Okay. So, yeah. So as you alluded to, I am one of those women. In the fall of 2022, I became pregnant. And in the first trimester of that pregnancy, I was diagnosed with a blood clot in my uterus that caused me to bleed vaginally for weeks. And initially with that diagnosis, doctors were confident that the blood clot would actually end up resolving itself eventually. But unfortunately, that didn't end up happening, and something really bad ended up happening because around between week 20 and 21, the blood clot caused my water to break too soon. It caused it to break early. And then it also caused something called a placental abruption. And for those who don't know what that is, it's when the placenta tears away from the wall of the uterus. And this can be a life-threatening condition. So my doctors basically told me that my labor needed to be induced in order for my life to be saved. At that time, and that is considered to be an abortion.
Right.
And at that time, the law in Wisconsin stated, well, basically, we were at the time under a near total abortion ban. But the law did state that in the case of the life of the mother, when the life of the mother is threatened, an abortion is warranted. But there were hurdles, legal hurdles, that I and we had to jump through first. For example, in order for me to receive the care I needed and for my labor to be induced, I had to undergo two different evaluations. So I had to be evaluated by a doctor initially, and they had to confirm my condition, and I had to have an ultrasound. And then my condition had to be confirmed by a second doctor with a second ultrasound and confirmed again. And I ended up waiting a substantial amount of time in order to, throughout that entire process, I ended up having to wait. I can't really, I still to this day, I'm not really sure why I had to wait, but I believe the water broke and I had the placental abruption at around 6 p.m. at night, and I wasn't induced until the following day, late afternoon. So I had to sit there, and I was bleeding. And as I've as Kristen and I have talked extensively about this, and as I've told her, I had already been bleeding for weeks because I had been bleeding vaginally. Then I had the placental abruption, and I was bleeding internally and bleeding vaginally as well. So I was just sitting there, and I was bleeding and bleeding. And then a key component of my story is that my baby, my daughter, she was still alive. she was still alive and healthy because she wasn't the issue. It was the anatomy surrounding her with the placenta and the blood clot. So once my labor was induced, my daughter was actually born alive. And she died in my arms 2 hours after birth.
Oh, Laurel, I am just heartbroken for you. I am so, so sorry that you had to go through what you went through to get the care that you needed. Dr. Lyerly, was there any reason she should have had to wait? Is there any reason she should have had to gone to two separate doctors to perform the same examinations in order to get the care that she needed to save her life?
No. And in fact, this is sadly not an uncommon situation. I've dealt with this in the little rural hospital where I work. Actually, I dealt with it recently within the last month. This is a common thing, and we know how to diagnose it. We know how to treat it. We know how to counsel our patients. So this delay was completely unnecessary. But the one thing Laurel didn't tell you, and I'll leave this to her, is her memory of those 2 hours that she got to spend with her baby. Laurel, tell us.
Yeah, so by the time my labor was induced and I was able to be with my daughter, I was so sick at that point that I don't have much recollection of her life within those 2 hours and my time with her. And something that I've talked to Kristen about extensively is that something that was really important to me is that I knew that she was going to die once I gave birth. And so it was important to me that she was baptized before she passed away. And I have no recollection of that baptism at all.
I'm not surprised. First of all, because of the physical state that you were in, but I can't even imagine your emotional state. And knowing while you're waiting for the treatment that you need in order to stay alive, the agony that you must have been in. I can't even imagine that, Laurel.
Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely terrifying, absolutely devastating. And something that was really devastating for me is as I was sitting there waiting, bleeding, I could feel my baby moving in my stomach, knowing that I was going to have to give birth to her and watch her die. And I had to wait, and having that extended out was just added trauma.
And you know what we can do and what we should do in these situations, and what we do in states that don't have abortion bans, is we surround people like Laurel and her family with support, with information, with love, so that they can get through this traumatic time in their lives in the best possible way. And what abortion bans cause, in addition to harming people and putting people's lives at risk, is they take that experience away from you and they cause permanent emotional trauma. Families Yes. are ripped apart by this.
Yes, for certain. And I, the PTSD I dealt with for months and months afterwards was absolutely unimaginable. It was so bad mentally that I almost considered hospitalization at one point.
Oh, Laurel.
Because I just couldn't function afterwards. It was so bad.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Laurel, who is brave enough to share her very painful story with us. Please stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Here to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
Ready!
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Fifth Ward Brewing Company in Oshkosh, New Denmark Brewing, Duck Creek Distillery and Winery in Denmark, and Captain's Walk Winery in Green Bay. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is our guest, along with Laurel, who has been, and I think you're so brave, Laurel, to come out and talk about your experience, because I can only imagine some of the blowback and the hatred you're getting from folks. Because, and for, if you're just joining us, Dr. Lyerly, can you explain what happened with Laurel briefly?
Yeah, Laurel's water broke early in her pregnancy before the baby could survive. And she had an unnecessary delay in her care that led to some serious complications down the road. And she was unable to spend a satisfying, her daughter had lived for 2 hours, and she was unable to appreciate that time with her because she was so sick.
And I think it's important to point out as well that if Laurel had been in Texas, she probably would have died.
Yes.
Right?
She sure could have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm.
I mean, we can talk stats all day long. You know, we can say in Texas, the sepsis rate has increased 50%. There's another Texas study that shows that it's tripled. So there's even more data out there. Texas is not examining the maternal deaths for the last couple of years.
Right.
That's another thing.
Yeah, let's pretend it's not there. Let's just pretend it's not there. We won't look at it and then it doesn't exist.
Right. But realistically, these aren't just numbers. You know, the data is compelling and it's important, but these aren't just numbers, are they, Laurel?
No, they're not just numbers. They're real people. And as I was explaining to Kristen earlier, I think there's a large public misconception when people see women like myself coming forward. They see us in the media and they think that we're liars. They think that we're like paid actors, or we're people who this didn't really happen to, and we're just being told what to say. And that's not true. We're real people with real stories. And when you see an ad on TV and you see a woman pleading to you, it's a woman who actually did go through this type of trauma. And she really, truly is pleading to you because she doesn't want this to happen to herself or anyone ever again.
And I think part of the problem is you don't fit the narrative. You don't fit the narrative that many would like, in that it's some irresponsible woman who is using abortion as a method of birth control. No, you actually had, like many, many, many other women, you had a wanted pregnancy that went wrong and you needed specific medical care so you could live. That's what we're talking about.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this, my daughter was so, so loved. I mean, she was everything to me, everything to my husband and I, and everything we went through in terms of waiting, it was completely unnecessary.
We have a comment on a live stream from Rob who says, my thoughts and prayers for you, Laurel. I'm so very sorry about this. I will be praying for you always. And we're getting a bunch of comments as well on the text line with people who are just outraged by this. And we should be outraged by this. And Dr. Lyerly, I think you pointed out something really important. What's happening in Texas is the canary in the coal mine for what they want to see instituted across the country, including here in Wisconsin, yes, where women who were in Laurel's position don't have the option of getting the health care that they need. So not only tragically does the wanted child die, but mom dies too.
Well, let's be clear. This is still happening in Wisconsin. The 1849 criminal abortion ban that prevented Laurel from getting timely care, the kind of care that would allow her to spend that time, those 2 hours with her daughter, that ban is with the Supreme Court right now. It's on hold. We're performing abortion care in some hospitals, but in most hospitals, we're not. So yes, there are many, many women across the state who are not getting the care that they need. And not only is this resulting in worse healthcare outcomes, but it is causing, as Laurel mentioned earlier, mental health problems, PTSD, and problems within our families and our communities that radiate far beyond just what's happening to the one woman who is dealing with the physical crisis.
It's so infuriating. It's just infuriating. And I think it's really important that people, when we go to the polls on April 1st to vote for a Supreme Court justice, which of the two people who are running for Supreme Court are going to protect women? There's one candidate who will, the other one, not so much.
Well, let's be clear. I mean, Brad Schimmel has been very outspoken about his support for the 1849 criminal, yes, abortion ban. I mean, and repeatedly he has voiced support for it. He was part of the effort to bring down Roe. And it's not just abortion. It is healthcare in general. He was the guy as the attorney general who led the charge to dismantle the Affordable Care Act. This guy doesn't want you to get healthcare at all.
I'm curious. I know we're both just like, what kind of reaction have you gotten, Laurel? I'm curious. Are people accusing you of being a liar and making this whole thing up and that what you're getting paid by George Soros or somebody?
Yes. I think that is a common reaction, and it's been a common reaction for me. The other day, I saw a few comments about how I was a lying pig. It doesn't really faze me because I keep true to myself and I know exactly what I'm fighting for, but it's unfortunate and unnecessary.
Ignore the hate.
We're just like a gas.
I mean, it's, yeah, just, I want to get a rock and hit myself in the head. It's just,
we
shouldn't be here.
No,
we should not be here. And yet we are. That's why it's so important, Laurel, for people like you to have the bravery and the courage to step up and talk about this. This is the reality. This is what's happening. There's one side that doesn't want you to know that this is what's going on, yes, the ground across our country. This is real. Laurel,
until it happens to them, Jane. Until it happens to them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Laurel and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thank you so very, very much for your time. Love to have you back. Hopefully
thank
under
you.
Better circumstances. Stay strong.
Hope so. Thank you.
News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air, GRR, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Starting next week, Monday, March 3rd, the Interstate 41 southbound off-ramp to State 96 Wisconsin Avenue will be closed at least until summer for construction. The DOT recommends that drivers who wish to access Wisconsin Avenue in Grand Chute take the next exit south at State 125 College Avenue. The work will add auxiliary lanes and will also create bicycle and pedestrian accommodations. All of this is part of the larger project to expand I-41 between Grand Chute and De Pere from 4 to 6 lanes. A recent study by WalletHub found that Wisconsin homeowners pay some of the highest real estate property taxes in the country. According to the study, Wisconsin ranked 8th in the nation for highest taxes, despite having the 20th lowest median home value. Wisconsin residents pay nearly $4,600 in annual taxes for a median value home, significantly more than the national average of about $3,000 per year. Illinois was the only Midwest state to rank higher on the list, paying a median home average of nearly $6,800 per year. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced that the state has joined yet another multi-state lawsuit, this time to protect the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. In the lawsuit filed with 22 other states, the coalition argues that the dismantling of the CFPB would cause significant harm to consumers and would block enforcement of federal consumer protection laws. The agency oversees big banks, lenders, and credit companies to protect residents from aggressive business practices. The CFPB was formed in the wake of the Great Recession. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Awards season is in the home stretch, with the Oscars less than a week away. The 2025 Screen Actors Guild Awards are in the books and could give us some hints for next week's Oscar broadcast. Timothée Chalamet and Demi Moore took home the awards for Best Male and Female Actor in a Leading Role in the Feature Film category. Conclave won the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture. Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actress went to Zoe Saldana for Emilia Perez. Kieran Culkin won Outstanding Performance by a Supporting Actor for his role in A Real Pain. Outstanding Performance by a lead actor in a limited series went to Colin Farrell for his role in The Penguin, and Jessica Gunning won the same award for her role in Baby Reindeer. Switching to comedy, Jean Smart took home the Best Female Acting Award for Hacks, and Martin Short won in the same category for a male actor for Only Murders in the Building. Only Murders also won Best Ensemble in a Comedy. Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series went to Shogun. Not a huge surprise there. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Sunny and still warm today, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s, and tonight, rain rolling in. It'll mix with some snow overnight, where we could be waking up to around a half an inch of accumulation. And with the wintry mix ongoing tomorrow morning, expect slick and slippery spots. And it'll flip to regular rain by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, "I'm taking your backyard." You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Superintendent Brittany Kinzer is endorsed by Moms for Liberty. What threats are posed to your kids' education by the candidate for the superintendency? We discuss with Dan Schaefer at 2:30.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Really?
twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book.
Good morning, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, Nightlight Wish Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for another way to unwind at the end of the day, maybe you want to get away from the news a little bit. It's pretty heavy.
Yes.
Join Pete from 6 to 8 p.m. across the network tonight. He will talk to actor Mike Starr, who is in Goodfellas.
I love Mike Starr.
And Dumb and Dumber.
An episode of The West Wing.
They're going to talk about his career as an actor. And then Green Bay and Mafia and urban legend guru Bob Dennis will be joining Pete tonight from 6 to 8 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network. What?
Green Bay Mafia?
This is what it says. Green Bay Mafia and urban legend guru Bob Dennis.
My name's Steve Jaworski. If you know what's good for you, you better pay up. Well, and I take cheddar.
Now you're curious.
You're right.
Now, see, it's a tease. That worked. All right. Coming up, of course, we will wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the Royal Flush Edition today from Greg Bach. He's the one who found it. If you ever find a tisbat, as we like to call them, send it into Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. You can use the same email if you have a topic for, you have a guest you think we should have on. Maybe some local charity in your community is having an event that you would like to get a little attention. Please let us know. Mm-hmm. Send it to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Here is the question for you. Do you read? 855-752-4842. Do you enjoy reading, or is it a chore?
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of division for some folks, but there's a big article in the Atlantic magazine with a headline that reads, and Rose Horowitz has the byline, "The elite college students who can't read books. To read a book in college, it helps to have read a book in high school." This article essentially talks about the earlier we can get kids interested in books,
yeah,
that will stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that has certainly been my case. My parents were big book pushers. They were big book pushers.
Yeah.
And I can remember like it was yesterday, probably when I was in kindergarten, they got me the entire set of Dr. Seuss books.
Okay.
And I can remember it coming to the house, and with the deliveries were a big deal back in the 60s.
Back then, you had to wait 6 to 8 weeks for a delivery.
They were on horses.
Dr. Seuss just got done writing it.
Exactly.
He's like, send it to the Matinair house.
Yeah, but that was a thrill.
Yeah.
And reading a new, and then my mom would take me to the library once a week,
mm-hmm.
and I got to take out 3 books.
That's so cool.
And I would look forward to that more so much. And I credit my mother for instilling in me this love for books. It saved my life.
Yeah.
In a lot of different ways. And it took me around the world more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Do you read, or do you get your information some other way? Now, you are not a big reader.
No, I'm a tall reader. I'm tall. But that's something, you know, I thought about when we were talking about this before the show. I realized that it took me way too long to figure this out. Reading is a skill. It's a learned skill.
It is a skill.
I think your story is the perfect example of teaching a child the skill and then the love for reading, where for me, reading is a very daunting task. And it's embarrassing, too.
But you're not alone. I think there's a lot of folks who are like you.
Exactly. And you don't know that until recently, when people really are saying it out loud, because there are so many avenues of reading, like whether you're an audiobook person, are you an ebook person? Do you want that physical book in your hand?
Right.
For me, audiobook is the best way for me to read a book. I love it. I listen to it on the car rides. It's perfect for me, especially with my drive to Milwaukee every
right.
single weekend.
Right.
But it is very, very difficult for me to read. And that is a thing that was very hard for me to say, because I didn't think anyone else had a problem reading, and I thought everyone else read. I thought everyone was like you.
No.
Everyone just, like, my sister can take down a book in, like, a day and a half. I could probably, if you gave each of us a 500-page book,
yep,
she could probably have it done by the next day. I would be somewhere around, I don't know, 40, 50 pages in by the next day. It would be a long slog. And then
not enjoyable.
And not enjoyable. I don't comprehend the information. And then I get frustrated. I put it down. I fall asleep while reading. So for me, like, it was just something I was like, I don't do that. Every book in high school was oh my God, it was such a chore. It was such an
And that's when reading becomes punishment.
Yes, exactly. And you're hardly ever reading a book that, like, ooh, The Scarlet Letter. I'm 17-year-old boy. Who doesn't want to read Nathaniel Hawthorne?
Yeah, let's read the Old Man and the Sea.
Yeah, Of Mice and Men. What a page-turner, you know?
Well, and I think that is so important, mm-hmm, that if you want to instill that love of reading early,
yes,
you let them read about what they want to read about.
Yes.
Instead of forcing this classic on them.
Yeah.
You can force it on them later. But if you want them to learn to love to read, you need to let them read about things that interest kids.
I think if you teach the child the skill of reading, that when the time comes in high school for them to read those classics, reading and comprehending those classics and reporting upon them for their assignments is easier. Oh, my God, Jane, the amount of reports that never got done for me in middle school and high school because I just didn't read. I read Ethan Frome in a Night, and I still can't tell you what it's about because I just had to be able to write a 2-page paper. Because I had left it to the last minute because reading it was so anxiety filled for me that it was just like, I can't do this.
And I can sympathize with that amount of anxiety. I absolutely can. That's how I felt about word problems in math.
Oh,
yeah. Calvin, you're a reader.
You're both ferocious readers.
Yeah, I've gone through spells in my life. I was a voracious reader when I was in elementary school, and then I didn't really read too much in high school until I read Game of Thrones as my entry into adult fiction the summer before my senior year. And then I didn't read again until I read Dune right before the movie came out.
Oh, wow.
But now when I talk to you...
That's a big book.
But since then, yeah, I've been reading a lot. Confession, I actually only read 5 books last year, but I've already finished 9 this year.
Yeah.
So I'm making up for
it. You're in good shape. 855.
I only read 5 books last year.
752-4842. Do you read? Yeah. Do you enjoy reading, or do you get your information some other way? There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah, there's
here.
No judgment
not,
here
no
whatsoever.
Judgment, not trying to shame anybody.
But I will say this, reading a headline doesn't constitute being informed.
Beverly from Richland Center is on the line. I see everybody on the line. Thank you so much. We will get to you in order here. Beverly, go ahead. Thank you for joining us.
Well, as it happens, Jane, I'm on my way to the bookstore right now.
Good for you.
There you go.
I sit and read my book and have a latte.
It's there you go.
My favorite pastime now.
How did you start out reading, Beverly? Do you remember?
Well, in high school, I was a mediocre student and really had to keep my nose in my textbooks in order to do well. So I didn't do hardly any reading outside of that. And then I started teaching, and I didn't have time to do anything besides prepare classes.
Sure.
And then one day I realized I came home and I didn't have any papers to grade, and I didn't have any lessons to plan, and I didn't know what to do, so I walked over to the bookstore. And I put myself on a schedule of reading 40 books a year.
Wow.
Jeez, Beverly. Okay, all right. All right, wow, okay. Wow.
Do you, I'm curious, Beverly, and then I want to move on, just because we have so many callers lined up. If you are 2 chapters into a book and you don't like it, do you force yourself to finish it?
No, I don't.
Good for you. Yeah, see, I don't either.
Yeah.
I used to feel like I had to finish the book, like it was some reading punishment. And there's that too. It's reading as punishment then. Thank you so much, Beverly. Really appreciate it.
I got halfway through American Psycho, and I wanted to throw the book out of the window.
Done.
It was terrible.
855-752-4842. Sherry from Horicon. Good morning,
Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. Are you a reader?
Well, hi, guys. Yes, I am a very avid reader. Right now I am reading 5 books.
Wow.
Was it just show-off today?
my daughter is a very avid reader also, and my son hates to read.
Yeah. So
my dad was a professor of biology.
Oh, so wow.
I grew up looking everything up on the encyclopedia. So everything, you know, I'm 65 this year. So same age as you, Jane.
That's right. We're we're in our prime, girl, if prime is on the older end of prime.
Well, the way it looks like you're living to like 130, so, you know.
Thank you, Sherry. Really appreciate that. Brian from Milwaukee texting in, I hate reading. I get very tired anytime I read.
Yep.
I will only read something to learn, but I will buy the book in print and audio so I can absorb the material. I'm a visual and audio learner. Brian from Milwaukee. That makes a lot of sense, yep. Brian. Because again, not everybody... It's just not everybody's thing.
Yep, and Pat, I cannot remember her name, but she said that she deals with books and independent bookshops. Audiobooks are reading.
Yeah.
Let no one tell you differently. It's not less than. It's the same information. You're just taking it in.
It's a different
orally.
It's a different avenue.
Exactly.
It's a different avenue. Chris Casper in Madison. It's just like anything else. Reading takes practice. I'd compare it to learning how to play guitar. It is daunting at the beginning. But you got to get in the woodshed and chop some wood.
There you go.
All right. Matt from Middleton, the cell phone and video shorts like TikTok have killed reading
mm-hmm.
because you need an attention span that can go past 3 minutes. I don't disagree with you, Matt.
Yeah.
I really don't. We have the attention span of a flea.
Well, I think it doesn't help people who have a hard time reading. Individuals who read ferociously can still, I think it doesn't harm them. But I think people who don't like reading, this doesn't help.
No. Ollie from the Northwoods on the line. Real quickly, Ollie, thank you so much for joining us. Are you a reader or no?
I am definitely a reader, and I think that to my parents, who like yours, encouraged us. My parents, even though they didn't have much money, bought the Encyclopedia Britannica and... Aesop's Fable.
Oh, nice.
World Book. All sorts of things when we lived in Germany at the time. And they made payments on those. So they were important.
Yep.
And there never was a time when our mother wasn't reading. And if we said we're bored, she'd say, get a book.
And I bet your mother said the same thing that mine did, because we also had encyclopedias. If I ever asked her a question, it was go look it up.
Yeah.
And I still do that today.
Yeah.
Go look it up. Thank you, Ollie. John from Milwaukee, quickly, and then Mark, we're hoping to get you too. Thank you for joining us, John. Are you a reader or no?
I am now. I, like the gentleman, I didn't read when I was younger. I hated it. I was bored. In fact, by the time I was 30, I had one book I read, and that was The Boxcar Kids. And then I was in the airport with my boss, and he said, don't you have a book to read on the plane? And I said, no. And he goes, I'm not going to talk to you the whole time. he took me to the bookstore, and he looked at books, and he goes, here, let's buy this one. And it was Cujo.
Oh, great book.
I needed to read. And I read Cujo on my trip, finished it. I was so infatuated with reading that I've read countless books ever since my boss gave me that example.
That is so cool, John. And what that tells me again is if you find the right book,
yes.
If you find the right topic
mm-hmm.
that will grab you, that's the entryway. That's the entry into reading.
I think that's the other problem. Thank you so much, John, for sharing that. I think that's the other problem too, is I think a lot of people think they have to, well, I should read Little Women.
No.
Just read a sports biography if you want to. Whatever, read whatever you want to.
Whatever makes you happy, whatever interests you, that still constitutes reading.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for checking in. I'm sorry we didn't have the opportunity to get to everyone. Really appreciate it. We are coming up against the break. And we have This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Gold Flush Edition.
Royal Flush.
That, too, is on the way next. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In the coming weeks, Virginia GOP Governor Glenn Youngkin considers multiple pro-voter bills sent to his desk by a Democratic majority legislature. A state constitutional amendment also moves to the November ballot, which restores voting rights to returning citizens after felony convictions. Almost a dozen pro-voter bills have advanced in January and February, most recently protecting voters from premature purges. Last August, Youngkin ordered voter registration purges within 90 days of the election, upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court just 2 weeks before the election. In response, the Virginia legislature passed House bills prohibiting the purging of a voter using unverified external data as justification and establishing specific criteria for removal. SB 813 specifically prohibits voter list purges within 90 days of the election. After blocking GOP attempts to shorten early voting in primaries, the legislature passed SB 760, extending deadlines for returning mail-in ballots to 3 days after Election Day and allowing curing of deficient ballots. In 2023, Governor Youngkin reversed policies of recent governors and restores voting rights to citizens who've completed felony sentences only on a case-by-case basis. House Resolution 2 would automatically restore those rights and will appear on the November 2025 ballot. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, excuse me, your deadline to register to vote via email or online for the April spring election is Wednesday, March 12th. Check out all the ways to register to vote in Wisconsin at myvote.wi.gov. If you are still unsure of who you would like to vote for the Wisconsin Supreme Court between Brad Schimmel and Susan Crawford, Judd Crawford is going to be joining us on Thursday morning. Mm-hmm. And I would also encourage you to go back and listen to the first half hour of this hour's show. There is one candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court who is going to protect women.
Yes.
The other one, not so much.
Yes.
So, again, we understand you have a life. You have a life. You have things. You're doing things. So if you can't listen live, not a problem, but you can always go to our website, civicmedia.us, click on shows, click on Matt Nair on Air, and that will give you at least 100 past episodes that you can listen to at your leisure.
You can also go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice. Subscribe to the show as a podcast. You can listen to us anytime you like. Take us with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. And also leave us a 5-star review if you think we've learned it.
That would be nice.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice. All right, it's 11:53, Calvin. That means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from the Associated Press headline reads, prosecutor says golden toilet was stolen from English palace in audacious raid. Not your typical smash and grab burglary, Greg Bach.
No.
And the booty was precious. A toilet worth more than its weight in gold. The one-of-a-kind 18-karat gold toilet was stolen in under 5 minutes from Blenheim Palace an English country manor where Winston Churchill was born in the early hours of September 14th of 2019. This case is just coming to trial now.
Winston Churchill was born in
2019? No.
Oh, sorry. No. I heard that wrong.
The theft happened in 2019. The attorney called this an audacious raid. One of the three men on trial in the case of the stolen potty was involved in stealing it. The other two helped to sell it. The toilet has never been recovered.
No.
They think they cut it up and sold it.
No, I would.
The golden toilet, a piece of art.
Yes, it was.
Titled America. Was intended to poke fun at excessive wealth. It weighed just over 215 pounds. It was insured for $6 million. At the time it was made, it was worth $3.5 million. This golden loo had previously been on display at the Guggenheim Museum in New York. And now it's gone. One of the defendants says he cased the palace twice in the weeks leading up to the theft, once before it went on display at Blenheim Palace, and then up close and personal once it was fully functional as an exhibit. He took pictures of the window that was later used to smash into the palace. There is no doubt he was carrying out reconnaissance for the burglary that took place later that night. Two stolen vehicles, they pulled up to the front steps, smashed through the window, made quick work of breaking down the toilet, removing it from the plumbing, and leaving water gushing from the pipes.
First rule is when you're going to mess with the toilet, folks, you got to listen. You got to turn the water off. Turn the water. That's just a rookie mistake.
All the defendants at this point have pleaded not guilty, but it does look like they have some video footage, which is not going to work in their favor.
Oh, I love this story so much from start to finish. This is just the... Thank you.
A golden toilet.
Thank you, England.
Titled America.
Oh, that's even better. I mean, and if people are like, oh, dare they? Let's check the bathroom of the current president. His place in New York. Let's see what he's popping a squat on.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, very excited about this guest that I stumbled across on TikTok.
Yes.
Will Westmoreland is a farmer in southwestern Missouri, and he was responding to a younger farmer who was worried about losing his farm now that the Trump administration has frozen a whole bunch of money for things he has already invested in. Yeah. Will Westmoreland has a really interesting explanation on why we are where we are right now. Again, Will Westmoreland, a farmer from southwestern Missouri, going to join us tomorrow at 10:30.
Do you know who we just talked to recently?
Mr. Global.
Mr. Global. The circle of friendship gets smaller and smaller.
Hour number two tomorrow, Becca Munich will be here from the National Wildlife Federation, and we're going to talk about, more ramifications of the Trump administration on conservation efforts.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about birds.
Here in Wisconsin, birds might come up as well. That's all on the way tomorrow. We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba, noon to 2, Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4. Dom Salvia takes over from 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. Up North News Radio, Civic Media Mornings tomorrow morning.
Chad Holmes is filling in.
And then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even if it's just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
WGBW and WGBW.FM. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Wednesday's show, we'll be moving with the Malcors. Ben and Deanna will join us.
Plus, Sarah Connery will fill us in on the Authors Among Us book fair coming up this weekend. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
I'm Michelle Franz. In a vote planned today in the House, GOP House Speaker Mike Johnson will present a resolution he calls a budget blueprint with no cuts specified for now. The proposal, the first step, he says, in delivering massive cuts and tax breaks for President Trump's agenda. Democrats holding a rally outside the Capitol today. House Leader Hakeem Jeffries says slashing funding and federal jobs will come at a cost to Americans.
Today we stand together as House Democrats with the American people to push back against this reckless Republican budget.
Federal workers against the deep DOGE job layoffs and firings also demonstrating at the Capitol, pushing back against an email calling on workers to list accomplishments in this past week.